Greetings. Good morning. I'm just glad to be home once. We were in Morton 2 weeks ago and bring many Christian greetings. And we were in Chicago last weekend, have many greetings. Nancy, you know the love that they have for you there, to Glenn. But I hope today that as you're here, we can settle in and be inspired by the Spirit. If you're visiting today for the first time, we're just people that are bound together in a fellowship of love, and we want to learn and grow together. So just relax and listen to the Word of God this morning. Brother Bob Beebe is here with us from South Bend with his wife, Sue Ann, and he will preach this morning. And then Mr. Joshua Martinez, you're still from Indy, aren't you? From South Bend, too?
My heart is here.
You got two homes, don't
yes.
you? Many homes. Brother Joshua will preach this afternoon. So be prayerful for the Word.
Good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. How blessed we are to be able to come into God's house on a Lord's Day morning and to fellowship, but even more importantly, to listen to God as He teaches us, as He talks to us, as He reminds us of His love and of His care for us and of His desire that we be known by Him, that we know and have a relationship with our Creator, with our Lord and Savior. I have opened into a book that I don't know that I've ever preached from before, and that's the Song of Solomon. Let's turn to Song of Solomon chapter 2. In some Bibles, it's called the Song of Songs, and it is a reminder to us of God's love for us. Actually, as I think about this book in the Bible, I have to think of how this morning several of us were to church for breakfast, and there were three of the young people here, probably even here this morning in this sanctuary this morning, who are graduating from high school. And so their parents and grandparents and mentors were invited to a breakfast. And I will have to say that I was very touched by the emotions by some of those, not even just parents, but yes, certainly by the parents and by the students and by grandparents and by others, emotions of love and of care and concern. And I have to think now, God has that same emotion toward us. I think we see in this book the emotions of God for his children, for each and every one of us. Those of us who are His children by being born again, and those of us who are His children by physical birth, but have not yet been born again. And I would like to think that this morning hour, as we think about God's love, He wants us to remember, as we would read in this book, of a love for a man, for a woman, that there is that love that is even beyond that. And that is the love, the agape love, that God has for each and every one of us. So let's read together Song of Solomon chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under the shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose, by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art the clefts of the rock and the secret places of the stairs. Let me seek thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. And I like to think that even as we think of our Lord, our God's love for us, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to love us, to really love us like no other has ever loved us. We think of the love that is shown between a parent and a child, between a spouse, between a husband and a wife. We think of the love that we have for each other in a Christian family, in a family, and I think of how this church is a family. And you've shown that this morning around the tables of food, the words that were spoken of care and concern for those three young ladies that are going off to college, one staying home and taking online courses, and the other two going off to college. And yet that love, as deep as it is, as pronounced as it is, as evident as it is not as deep and profound as evident or as evident as Jesus Christ's love for you and for me. He loved us so much. If we want to measure the love that Jesus had for us, just think of what he did. As the song says, he opened his arms wide and he died for you and for me. And then we also read in this what we just read, his banner over us is love. We think about a banner. We think about that which would cover us. Think about a banner or a flag or a standard that's carried before the soldiers of a war. We think of all the kinds of ways that we want to show forth our allegiance and our dedication to our country. That banner over us, that allegiance and that dedication to you and to me is Jesus Christ's love. The banner over us is Jesus Christ's love. May we maybe learn to know it better. May we appreciate it more. I've turned to hymn number 156 in the Zion's Harp, Willingly Endure. As we think of his love for us, let's think of what we can do for him. We dare not think that we're earning anything, but we dare do show our love, our respect, our honor, and our allegiance to him. Hymn 156, as you choose.
Jesus.
Let's all unite and kneel in prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we thank thee that we can come before thy throne of grace in prayer, in praise and thanksgiving, adoration. Father, thou art worthy of all that we have from us and within us. Thou art worthy because thou art Creator. Thou art majestic Creator of the universe, of this planet, of the air we breathe, of the water we drink, of the building we're in, of the electricity that flows, of all. And yet, Father, even more so, thou art Creator of love. Thou art Creator of the emotions that we have within us. Thou knows us better than we know ourselves. There's not a one of us here that thou dost not know. There's not a single person within this room, on this planet, that you do not have an understanding of, that you do not love with an everlasting love. Thou art faithful, dear God, in all that thou hast promised, all that you have promised that either has come to fruition or will. And Father, we know that thou didst send thine only begotten Son, and he lived upon this earth and taught. Well, how thankful we are for his words in this Holy Bible. How thankful we are for the experiences that those that followed him had, because as they followed him, at the time, perhaps not even understanding him, but as he completed his work, they came to a full understanding of who he was. And then they wrote, and they were able to write down for us the Gospels and the epistles that are so meaningful to us, to help us understand you all the more. And Father, we are so thankful that thy word is filled with stories and lessons and experiences of those that have been led by thee, Almighty God. And Father, we thank thee so much for the lessons and experiences we have from those about us, even those that are sitting beside us and those that we hear. Father, we thank thee even for the voices of the young children. For we know that that means this is an alive church. That means that this is a place where families come, where children can grow from a time of a newborn to where they graduate from high school and go on to college. Father, we know how important it is for each and every one of us to realize that there is those experiences in the past that have molded us and made us. And yet we know also that there are those differences in our personality, as we've heard this morning, among those young high school graduates. They have a different personality. They have a different outlook on life. They have a different desire to learn or grow or do. And yet, Father, thou art an undying and all-seeing and a timeless God that knows and loves us all. Where we are, what we are, who we are, Father, thou knows us, and thou loves us where we are, what we are, and who we are. We're thankful, Father, for the lesson of love we find in this Song of Solomon. We thank thee for the poetry. We thank thee for the vision that we have of earthly love, of love for one for another. And Father, that love is transcended. It is incomparable. What we compare with thee is incomparable to what we read in thy word in this book. And yet, Father, we thank thee for the lessons that we have that teach us and draw us to thee. We thank thee for those little examples of love. We thank thee for those tears we saw this morning from a grandparent, a grandmother, a grandfather, a father, and a mother, for a child that's now completed a course of study. And it reminds us, Father, that each and every one of us have emotions, and thou hast designed us with such, and how thankful we are for them, how important they are to us. And Father, we thank thee that as we go on through life, we look not so much to the past as we want to look to the future. And yet we were reminded this morning that not a one of us, not a single one of us knows the future. And yet we know who holds the future. And oh Father, we are so thankful that we can trust Thee for that. We can rest in that understanding. We can rest in that assurance that Thou dost know the future. And there's not a thing that's going to happen to any one of Thy children that hasn't gone before Thy throne first. So Father, bless us as we look into Thy Word, as we contemplate Thy love and Thy grace and Thy mercy. Father, we thank Thee so much for Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have opened to the Gospel of St. Mark, Mark chapter 13. I mentioned that we have the words of Jesus Christ with us in this Bible. Many Bibles have the words of Jesus in red. And that is, it's good for us to see. We can look at a page in the Bible and we can see what Jesus has said and versus what somebody said about Jesus. I think we are that in this chapter, almost all of it is in red. I think we're going to begin reading with verse 14, just to save time and not read too much scripture. Mark 13, verse 14. We read here of Jesus talking about the end of the age. You know, I mentioned too that we don't know the future. It was mentioned this morning to these young graduates of high school that they look to the past, and so many of you here can contemplate the past for these young people. You can contemplate the past for your own children, for yourself. You can't really contemplate, or you can contemplate, but you can't really vision or envision clearly what's going to happen in the future. Not a one of us can. Isn't it interesting that the only future we really have is if you look on your maps on your phone or the weather, and it tells you what's going to happen. It'll tell you what's going to happen. But how often are they right? How often are they correct? I remember here, it was just last November, one of your brethren who is a pilot was with me in South Bend. And I just had gotten a message from an airline saying that you better change your plans tomorrow morning. You're supposed to fly out to Haiti. And there's a storm coming. You better change your plans. Well, I didn't know what to do, so I consulted with this professional pilot, and he looks at his weather map, and it's a bit more complete than what I had. And I guess you'd have to say, you know, when you look at the scriptures, it's more complete than what you're going to find in a newspaper. It's going to find what you're going to find in somebody trying to predict the future. And yet Jesus gives us a picture that is as complete as He was able to give to us. And we're going to read it in the scripture. It's only as complete as God would allow. And I would have to say it's probably only as complete as we can take. You know, if we knew what was going to happen, if we knew what was going to happen today or tomorrow or this year, what would we do? Probably we would either be stunned and unable to continue with life as we should, or we would probably be so wrapped up in what we were going to do to try to change what was going to happen that we wouldn't really be living as God would have us live. We think about it. You know, we have the words of Jesus. We know Jesus' life. We know His teaching. We know what He came for. We know that He completed His work. He completed His mission. And yet we don't have very much about him as a child, do we? Very few verses about Jesus from the time he was born, or maybe two or three, when the wise men came, until he was in his ministry at 30 years of age. Why do you think that is so? Why do we not have more about Jesus about it as a child, as a young man, so that we could teach our sons? I had four sons, so my wife and I could have taught our sons, and they could have been like Jesus was. Well, Jesus did this, Jesus did that as a young man. Well, the answer is God didn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to raise our sons or our daughters as Jesus was. He wants us to raise them as we should raise them. Not as someone else was raised, but as they should be raised. And so we're reading here too of what Jesus tells us about the future. I think it's so important that we be awake and alert and listen to them. And perhaps even read, as we read these words, realize that Jesus is sharing these words with us because he loves us. He's not sharing these words with us because he's trying to create fear. There is nothing that we read in these verses that should bring a fear. There's nothing that should bring an anxiety. There's nothing that should bring a consternation to us. But there's everything that should bring us a desire to prepare, to be ready, to do what is necessary. Not to do what we think we should do, not to do what we want to do, but to do what God wants us to do. The only way to really be prepared is to do what God wants us to do and what His Spirit would lead us to do on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute-by-minute basis. So as we read, let us take the words of Jesus, realizing they're given to us in love, they're given to us in care, they're given to us today, this day, in this year, in this place, so that we can be prepared for what He has for us. Yes, in the future, maybe a year or two or several from now, but even more so we can be prepared for today and prepared for this hour, prepared for the Sunday school lesson in the afternoon, be prepared for the day to come. If we would raise our children, if those three daughters, those three graduates would have been raised such that we want to make sure that that when they graduate from this day, when they came to church on this morning, that they could say the right things or they could do the right things, that would be a mistake. We don't prepare ourselves for what's going to happen 20 years from now. We prepare for ourselves for what's going to happen the next step. As they say, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And our lives have begun with one step, and our lives continue step by step. We need to take these words and realize, what does God want me to do right now? What does He want me to do in my heart? What is supposed to be happening in my emotions and in my thinking and in my planning for today and for this moment? So as we read Jesus' words, let us listen to Jesus. Mark 13:14. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not come down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened those days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders, to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall see he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cockcrowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And when I say unto you, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Well, if you're like me, I said at the beginning, it's not to cause fear, it's not to cause anxiety. But can we not sense a bit of an anxiety when we read these scriptures like this? I think it's expected of us. If we see something alarming, if we see a fire, if we hear an ambulance, we're supposed to do something. It creates a little bit of adrenaline in us. And yet, I guess we'd have to say that if we read this scripture carefully and prayerfully, we'd have to be like the man that climbs the mountain without a rope. Perhaps you've all heard of the man that climbs the mountain. I think his name is Alex Honnold. He climbs mountains, he's climbed El Capitan without any single rope, any kind of a restraint. And he practices every day or several times a week by holding on to by the fingertips inside of a ledge for 90 minutes. I don't know if he stops now and then, but that long just to keep the strength in his fingers. I think that's what God wants us to do, put strength in the fingers of our soul. And it's been said once, have you ever had an adrenaline rush when you're climbing a mountain without a rope? Can you imagine? El Capitan, I think, is over 3,000 feet tall. Straight drop down. 3,000 feet drop. And he's climbing that up from one little ledge to another, one little precipice to another. And someone asked him, do you ever have an adrenaline rush? He said, no. Absolutely not. If I have an adrenaline rush, something went wrong. Something went wrong. And you know, I think there's a spiritual lesson to that too. When you read words like this, we should have a concern, but not an adrenaline rush. We should be ready and prepared. As we see at the end of the scriptures there, the end of Jesus' words, he says, watch. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. How do we watch in our day and time? How do we really watch as God wants us to watch? How do we watch as Jesus Christ really is teaching us to watch? Does that just mean we have our eyes open? Does that mean we have our physical eyes open and we have binoculars on, or that we have sunglasses on to shade from the sun, or we're just watching? I think so many times we think watching means being alert with our physical eyes. Or maybe we want to be alert with our ears. You know how it is when you're driving down the road, and sometimes my wife has to remind me of this. If you hear a siren, you're supposed to pull over. We have a son that's a fireman, and he gets upset when people don't pull over, when there's a fire truck going by. We watch with our ears, don't we? We listen. We're attentive to the sounds around us. We're attentive to the sights about us. But God wants us, and Jesus wants us, to watch with our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. we really have to develop that. That's not something that's natural. That's not part of, that's not one of our senses of our body, is it? But it is a sense of our spiritual life. It's a sense of those of us who are born again, who are believers in Jesus Christ. We develop a sense. We develop a, I think we not only have been given to us an instinct, but we develop a sense of understanding. I think of Israel at the time of Isaiah. In fact, in the first chapter in Isaiah, God is talking through Isaiah, and he is reminding Israel that they did not only not have an instinct, they didn't seem to listen to their instinct, they didn't seem to know and learn. He says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. And I think he's speaking, this is what Jesus would be reminding us today. The Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. If there's any one of us who have been redeemed and born again and are converted, and we don't watch as Jesus wants us to watch, we don't watch with our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. Isaiah went on to say, the ox knows his owner. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. What he's saying there is an ox knows. The oxen knows who controls them. And the ass knows his master's crib. He knows where the food is. If an animal knows that, if they have that instinct to know, and they have that knowledge they've learned from their master, he says, you Israelites, you haven't even got that. You don't have the instinct that you should have to know who I am. And then you have not learned from me who I am. And I think that this is what Jesus is reminding us in this scripture, in Mark. That we as believers in Jesus Christ, we are who are believers. What does it mean to be a believer? It means to be redeemed, to have been transformed by the Spirit of God. No longer a part of the world system, no longer a part of the world's way, no longer following the ways of the world, but have an instinct that was given there by God. We have an instinct. God gives us the Holy Spirit. That's like an instinct to us. If something is not right, in fact, one of the ways to know if you really have a faith that's abiding, if you have a doubt, don't. And that's the way we live, right? If we have a doubt, we don't. That's the instinct. That's part of watching. That's part of what Jesus Christ wants us to utilize. Utilize our instincts. The ox and the ass are to utilize their instincts, but Israel was not. And I think the word here would be to us today too, if we are not utilizing, if we're not listening to, if we're not enhancing the instinct that God gives us, that God has put within us, if we're not listening to that Holy Spirit, if we're not abiding by what the Holy Spirit is telling us, then we're not watchful. We're not watching. We're not doing what Jesus Christ is telling us to do. And then as Israel was, they had not learned. And we look back at Israel's history. We look back at all the ways they fell. We can see that they were taught by God. They were given such a clear teaching as they went across the Red Sea, as the waters parted, and they went across on dry ground. Would that not be a reminder to you? Would that not be a way of teaching you and teaching that generation that there is a teaching from God? Many times they were taught of God, the water out of the rock, the food from heaven, the many ways that God taught them. They failed to see that. By the time Isaiah wrote, he says, my people do not know, they do not understand. But we need to take that lesson today from the words that we're reading here from Jesus. First, do we have that instinct, and then we need to grow. It's mentioned that this morning how important it is that the young people look back and learn what they've been taught. But it's also important to consider what they're going to do and go ahead and what's going to be in the future. And here's what Jesus is saying. Learn from the past. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from your victories. Learn from all the ways that God has taught you. Take them as a lesson. One thing that we should be as believers in Jesus Christ is learners. Lifelong learners. We want to continually grow and learn to be able to to take the lessons that he gives to us. Take the lessons of a scripture from Jesus himself. And realize, what is he teaching us here? He's teaching us to what it means to be watchful, what it means to listen, what it means to be watchful and listening spiritually. And so as we think about Jesus Christ talking to those that he was, the disciples, we think of how they were anxious at many times, or they didn't understand it until it came to a point in their life. It was probably after Jesus was even not only resurrected but ascended. Then they took all these lessons. They took all his words and they were able to put them together. They were able to grasp them. They were able to put their arms around all these lessons. And so it is for you and me. We take the lessons from the Old Testament. We take the lessons from Song of Solomon. We take the lessons of the emotions that we have, the desires that we have, and realize they're put there by God. And how thankful we should be for them when they're in the right place. When we take them, we take the instinct that God gives to us as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a follower of him, as one that has the Holy Spirit within us. And we make sure that we listen to that Holy Spirit. If in doubt, what do we do? If in doubt of something, going somewhere, doing something, do we continue to do it? Have we hardened and calloused that instinct such? And I think each and every one of us as believers, we need to realize we can, as believers, we can allow that God-given instinct to be as it was for Israel. We're just like an ox that doesn't know his master's voice or his master's crib. It doesn't know that. So we can be that, and we must make sure that we are in the Word. One of the blessings and the best things we can do is, if we want to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, is to be in the Word. Be in the Word. It was mentioned this morning that these young people that are graduating, and all of you young people in this sanctuary, as you grow up, if you want to find strength, one of the best ways is to go back home. Go back home, maybe not necessarily physically to your home, but even in wherever you are, you can go back to your roots. You can go back to the ways that you were taught. How it was also mentioned that how important it is for we as believers in Jesus Christ, in the world we live in, to realize that we are light and salt. One of the things that I'm always amazed at in Haiti, where I've been many times, is to hear the Haitians preach about light and salt. And I hear it to it from our pulpits. And it's one of the things that, those are two of the things that we as believers, if we are watchful and spiritually watchful as Jesus would want us to be and does want us to be and will help us to be, we will be light and salt in this world. And oh, what a good example for us to think about what light does, how important light is to every one of us, and how important light is to the world, how important light is. We read here in Song of Solomon about the flowers and the plants in the springtime. The flowers appear on the earth, and time of the singing of birds has come. And the voice of the turtle, probably the turtle dove, is heard in our land. And I think of how, if it wasn't for light, if it wasn't for that sun, S-U-N, shining down, and water, and the soil, I've heard it said, if we owe all our existence to the fact that it rains and the top 6 inches of soil upon this planet. That's what we owe all of our existence to. The fact that it rains and that there are 6 inches of the top 6 inches of the earth, of the planet. Well, think about that. There's just simple things that we need to get from God for our spirit complex. We make it complex, and we can make it and enjoy the complexity if we want. But really, it's simple. And our duty, our responsibility as graduates of high school, as believers in Jesus Christ, is to be light and to be salt. And if we want to be light and salt, we need to find the strength from God. We go back to our roots. We go back home. We go back to those who have mentored us. and we listen to them, and we share with them. How thankful we are that most importantly, if we want to really have our strength and courage, if we really want to find strength, we go to the Word. We go to God in prayer. I think of how important strength is, and I think how important it is to realize that sometimes we lose our strength. Every one of us, we need to realize that we physically lose our strength, do we not? If we, at times, you've probably been sick, you've been in bed, you've been had a procedure done, something that you were not up and able. And pretty soon you find your muscles are weak. You can't do what you did. As you get older, you find out you can't do what you did. The same thing happens spiritually. If we are not tuned in and we're not plugged in and we're not entered into the source of our strength, we will lose our strength. And oh, how important it is that we stay strong, not in ourselves. Our strength, well, in fact, the Word tells us that even Jesus said, that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. His strength is what we need. It makes me think of the song that says, "Come ye children of Jehovah, grace for grace take from above, follow on in true submission, keep your pledge of faith and love. Should your love and your affection threaten to decrease and wane, oh, implore for God's correction till its strength it may regain." If we find ourselves needing strength, oh, implore for God's correction. As we look into this scripture, as we think about Jesus' words to us, at the end of the time, at the end of the age, it may happen soon. You know, there are plans right now being made that there is to be a peace treaty between Israel and Palestine. And soon after that, will come the end of the age. It's coming. This year, next year, we don't know. We even read here that even the Son doesn't know. The S-O-N doesn't know when, for the Father will call it all to an end. And God will send His Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem the world. Should our strength and our affection threaten to decrease and wane, oh, implore for God's correction. Till its strength it may regain. There our strength will regain.
We've been blessed this morning with words of truth and light. It's really encouraging to see how beautiful and how many layers there is to the Word. We read Song of Solomon. And just as you see any song, you see that there's high notes and low notes. So we have the bass notes down at the bottom, and then we can look at a book like the Song of Solomon and see it as the love between a man and a woman, and there is that. But then you have also the other notes too. You have the alto, the soprano, the baritone, and so they go higher and higher. And so as we are in the Word and we really see God's truth for us in the Word, then we start seeing books like the Song of Solomon as also another layer of the love spiritually between a man and woman, the miracle that comes about when Christians come together in love, and the miracle and that mystery of how three can become one when there's God involved. And then we go higher also and see the beauty of God for us, His grace. So that when we read a book like Mark 13 and we read about all that trial and tribulation at the end, the fire and brimstone stuff that people like to point to in the Word, we can also be reminded. We can look at that, but we know that there's a way out within the Word and by the grace and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we don't fear those, but we also seek higher hope in Song of Solomon 2:4, His banner over me was love. We have John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, so that we also know that there is love in the Word. And that's what we find And that's what we appreciate, and that's what we share. To God be the glory. What a beautiful word we have. What a great gift God has given unto us. Would a brother share a hymn with us?
To brother to lead us in a closing prayer for the morning, and would ask you to please include the noon meal.
Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, to come before you today, humbled to know that we stand before a great and almighty God, humbled to know that you ask of us to be honest with ourselves and honest with our brothers and sisters, and open to you, open to your correction, even as was preached today, and to ask for that, to not rest on our own righteousness as we sometimes try to do, but be so thankful that you reach out to us and ask us to acknowledge that all righteousness comes because of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we just pray and implore that you would bring your correction to our lives in whatever way that is. that each of us would be broken and rebroken, even as Paul talks about dying daily, that spiritual brokenness before the cross. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you stand there with open arms, pleading with us to come to you. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we just pray that that this church would have a broken revival. That not just this church here in Indianapolis, this apostolic church, but churches across the country. That everyone that calls themselves a Christian and those that don't call themselves Christians would come before you asking and pleading for your correction. So God, we thank you for this day. Thanks for the food that we're going to eat. You're an amazing God that provided us an amazing world to live in with crazy different foods that we can eat and different tastes. And Father, we just thank you for that. Help us to enjoy it knowing that it's all from you. Thanks for those that were willing to share that food with us today. So just be with us the rest of the day. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.